November, From the Flower and Season by Jocelyn Brooke, published 1952. It is the dead season, the ebb of the year, more deathly even than December, which at least looks forward to Christmas and the year's rebirth. All Souls' Night ushers in the month of the dead with the fires of Samhain. The corn god in the guise of Guy Fawkes is burnt again to rouse the sun's failing strength. November, I think, is the only month without a single flower of its own. Even October has the ivy, and in December, as likely as not, one will find the winter heliotrope or even the setterwort. The berries remain glorious, and in a mild year, the late summer flowers still linger. It is a season when one appreciates more even than in January, the all-the-year-rounders, dandelion, dead nettle, shepherd's purse. It would be interesting to keep a record of how many plants one could actually find in flower this month. I've never done so, but I would hazard a guess that I could, in my own district, and given an average season, gather the following, besides those already mentioned. Black knapweed, groundsel, primrose, red campion, field scabious, ragwort, nettle-leaf bellflower, carline thistle, devil's bit scabious, dog's mercury, annual mercury, black nightshade, yellow-horned poppy, perhaps, hedge woundwort, self-heal, corn poppy, heart's ease, wall pellitory, petty spurge, sun spurge, wood sage, red hemp nettle, marjoram, yellow toad flax, scarlet pimpernel, and probably a good many more, but this would be quite a good bag for the deadliest month. Gilbert White's Naturalist Calendar has two flower entries for November. Primrose flowers, November 10th, and hepatica flowers, November 30th. The hepatica, alas, is a garden flower in this country. It has been so long cultivated, however, that it is surprising it has not naturalized itself. Yet I have never seen it in any situation which could fairly be called wild. I like, too, White's entry for November 1st, Buck's Grunt. Surely the most admirably laconic sentence in English literature. Almost as admirable is his entry for November 22nd, 1768, in his Meteorological Observations. A remarkable fall of the barometer all over the kingdom. At Selborne, we had no wind and not much rain, only vast, swagging, rock-like clouds appeared at a distance. The imprisoned winds slumber within their caves, fast bound, the fickle vein, emblem of change, wavers no more, long settling to a point. All nature nodding seems composed, thick steams from land, from flood updrawn, dimming the day, like a dark ceiling stand, slow through the air. Gossamer floats or stretched from blade to blade. The wavy network whitens all the field. Pushed by the weightier atmosphere, up springs the ponderous mercury from scale to scale, mounting amidst the Tyrrhenian tube, while high in air and poised upon his wings, unseen, the soft, enamored woodlark runs through all his maze of melody. The brake, loud with the blackbird's bolder note, resounds. For days, for weeks, prevails the placid calm. At length, some drops prelude a change. The sun, with ray refracted, bursts the parting gloom, when all the checkered sky is one bright glare. Mutters the wind at eve, the horizon round, with angry aspect scowls, down rush the showers, and float the deluged paths and miry fields.